It's time to pull up a chair and open your Bible for today's Bible study segment of Naomi's Table. Gather around and let's begin.
Okay, ladies, we're going to dive right into the lesson because we have a lot to cover today in these passages. We're going to be in 1 John chapter 5, verses 13 through 17, and I've entitled this lesson, Do You Pray According to His Will? Let me go ahead and read the verses. These things I have written to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, so that you may know that you have eternal life. This is the confidence which we have before Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. And if we know that He hears us in whatever we ask, we know that we have the request which we have asked from Him. If anyone sees his brother committing a sin not leading to death, he shall ask, and God will for him give life to those who commit sin not leading to death. There is a sin leading to death. I do not say that he should make requests for this. All unrighteousness is sin, and there is a sin not leading to death. So we're going to get into that last little portion here in a bit. But first off, let's cover what John's telling us. He's assuring his readers that if they have the right view of God, practice obedience, and love for others, then you can be affirmed in your faith, since each of those are the elements that all tie together with the gospel. And let's look at verses 14 through 15, and this is going to tie back into lesson 14, where we talked about answered prayers. And this passage here is actually going to talk about the how of those prayers. Verse 14 says, "We can pray with confidence because we are in Christ. Therefore, our prayers will be answered. Because we are to be walking in His word and statutes, being obedient, repenting of our sins, in order to remove any hindrance to our prayers. This sets us up to be able to be in the right mindset for our prayers to be heard by God. We are to be praying according to His will, asking Him to help our desires match His will. We pray for what He wants in our life and not just what we want." Isn't that critical? Don't we think about that a lot, where we offer up a laundry list of prayers, but at the end of the day, if we stop and think about it, maybe we're not actually praying what He would want in our life, but more what we would want. As a mature believer, we know that God's will and plan is best. Therefore, we forfeit our finite view of what we want. This allows us to see our answered prayers more effectively. And here's the great thing. Romans 8:34 tells us that Jesus Himself is interceding for us on our behalf. This is how we make our prayers pleasing to God. And as we saw in chapter 2, verse 1 of our study, He's our advocate on our behalf. What a great reminder that we can think about that and know that Christ is there interceding for us and that He will make our prayers pleasing to God. So, as we look at verses 16 through 17, where I started off in the section of talking about a sin not leading to death, there is a sin that leads to death, I'm going to break that down because this for me has been a huge chunk of scripture that I have gained so much insight in, and I just want to break it all down and share it with you as to what I have found in this study. As we first look at this, it might be confusing. We might be looking at this and saying, well, what is this sin that's leading unto death? I don't want to commit that sin. What is it? And we might try and get hung up on that and get a little scared and confused. That's not what this passage is about, and that's not what John is on about here. What this is telling us is that there's two aspects to this verse, especially here in verse 16. This can be either the sin of a non-Christian that leads to eternal death, or this can be a real brother who is sinning and sins a sin unto death. Okay, let me break that down because I know that sounds really heavy and really confusing at first, but let me just get into it. As we look at this being about a sin of a non-Christian leading to eternal death, well, that's basically the final rejection of Christ that a false convert or a pretender has done. A pretender that has been in sin and that's been in this person's life, and maybe you've been praying for this person to be restored. You have been praying to the Lord that that would be His will, that these people, whoever this might be, would come back into the fold, that they would repent, and that they would trust Christ for their salvation. And what this is basically telling us is that in the eyes of God, this person, whatever this sin is, could be the final one where they have finally apostatized and it's the final rejection, and therefore the Lord takes them out, is essentially what this is telling us. And by doing that, these people are proving 1 John 2:19 to be clear, where it talks about they went out from us because they were not of us. So this is their final apostasy. This was their final rejection of Christ. And we don't know who these people are. So John is just saying that if you're praying for that person to be brought back in and that person dies and they never fully repented, then you can go back to the promise of this scripture and be like, wait, I prayed in your will. Why didn't that happen? Well, this verse is there to tell us that in these cases where there was no restoration because they sinned a sin of rejection, well, they were not, they ended up being a sin unto death. And that's pretty much why they have died. So this can't be true in every single case, but that verse is there as more of a comfort to remind us, even though you were praying in God's will, or you, so you thought, you know, that you wanted this person to be restored and come to Christ, well, that may not have been God's will. This person may have finally apostatized and sinned that sin unto death, and therefore they died. So the other aspect of this verse is that it is about a real brother who is sinning and they sin a sin unto death. But it wouldn't be apostasy or the denouncing of the gospel because they are true believers. Okay, so this is a different group we're talking about here. And it wouldn't be a falling away like Hebrews 6 tells us, but rather, because that's not their final rejection because we know that they're believers. So that's not going to be true in this case. But rather, this is a true brother who commits a sin for which God takes his life. Okay, so what are you talking about there? What does that mean? Well, let's give some examples, okay? The first one is going to be Ananias and Sapphira. Back in Acts 5, 1-11, we know that they lied before the church and God took them out. He killed them. So that would be a sin unto death that happened to a believer. When we look at Moses, that would be another example in Numbers 20, verse 8 and verse 12, where we know that he hit the rock and it basically struck the rock and he didn't get to see the promised land. So that would be a sin unto death of a believer. Obviously, we know Moses was saved. So that would be such an example of this verse. Some other ones would be when we see in the Corinthian church, 1 Corinthians 11, where there were some that came to the Lord's table and they came with such shallowness and hypocrisy and they didn't confront their sin. Well, because of this, some of these people died. The Lord took their lives. So it was a desecration of the Lord's table or a lie before the church like Ananias and Sapphira. Any sin that the Lord determines that it's enough for him to take them out. That's what this is talking about. It's that sin that happens to the church or to that person that undermines the gospel. And for the sake of the gospel and for the protection of the church, the Lord removes them. So that's a lot. That's a lot of heavy theology going on there in those two passages. And again, we're looking at this concept here. It's not meant to hang us up. We're not meant to read this and get hung up thinking, uh-oh, could this be happening to me or what is the deal here? This is more of an encouragement passage so that whenever you are praying in the Lord's will and you're praying in that way and something like this happens where you see someone die or and not repent and come back around, it's not meant for you to get confused about and think, oh, was I not praying rightly? It's meant for you to come back to this passage and see that the Lord is sovereign. The Lord is in control and he does whatever he wishes. And so if this person died before repenting or coming back into the fold or whatever it may be, so that you were thinking that they might be a believer, well, they might not have been a believer and the Lord may have finally taken them out for that final apostasy that they were doing. So it's meant to help us understand why these things happen and as an encouragement for us to pray for our brothers and how important that is. And then it's also a good reminder for those of us who are believers that we don't want to have long accounts of sin. We want to keep short accounts of sin, and we want to be repenting of those, giving those to the Lord, maintaining good fellowship with the church and with the brethren, not bringing any shame upon the gospel or upon the church, so that the Lord won't have to get to a point to see fit to protect us by removing us. I think that is really a key takeaway of these passages, because who wants to get to that stage where you're tempting God and you're testing God in whatever sin it may be that is bringing shame upon the church and upon the gospel and upon the Lord himself, that in order for your own protection, he sees fit to remove you, and that may be resulting in a shorter life. And therefore, we don't get to have that long, abundant life that it speaks about in the scriptures, as we see in Psalms 10:27, where it tells us the fear of the Lord prolongs life, but the years of the wicked will be shortened. So that's just a good reminder that we can think about these things and be encouraged that that portion of scripture is there not to confuse us or for us to be walking around trying to figure out what is this mortal sin that's going to lead unto death. What is it? What's the specific sin? That's not what it's talking about at all. It's not one particular sin across the board that we can name that would be true in everybody's life. No, this is more about the apostasy and an unbeliever's life to the final point of a sin unto death, or a sin in a believer's life that the Lord sees fit to remove them from this life in order to protect them. So I hope that kind of clears some of that up. I know that it's really weighty, and it's was such an encouragement to me as I read it, because it brought the view of God so high for me, and it created such a low view of man, which is what we always want to have in our perspective when we think about the gospel and about the Lord, and just remembering how sovereign and how in control he is and how much he loves us in order to protect us from not bringing shame upon the church or the gospel, and that he would do that for us. It's to me, it's very, very comforting to know I have a salvation in a Lord that is that powerful and that sovereign and that strong. It's just a high view of God that I see in these scriptures. And I hope you see that as well. So that's going to close out this lesson. And you can find this under the Bible Studies tab under naomistable.com. Do you pray according to his will?